From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of April 2013. Happy 48th birthday to my brother Jay. By the way, for the next month, we'll both be 48. We call that Irish twins. Jay tonight requested that he have meatloaf and scallop potatoes along with green bean casserole. My mother loved to make that dinner for him as he was growing up. For me, it was liver and onions and mashed potatoes and gravy. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. That's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll talk with TGM's Matt Bennett about the agricultural cash grain markets as we close out our half hour together. Pete Levitt will be here to look at the weather forecast, and it all happens during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, right here from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago and Kansas City on this Thursday afternoon. The hard red in Kansas City up 8.5 at 646.5 for the July contract. The soft red in Chicago at the CME Group for the harvest month at 703.25, up 0.25 cents, though the September was down 2.25 at $7.09.5. May corn futures in Chicago, 651.25, settlement price up 2.25. July at 633.5, a penny higher. September at 567, up 0.25. And December corn, $5.44 on its settlement price, up 1 for the afternoon. March contract at 554, 0.75 higher. And the May corn of next year at $5.62, up 0.75 cents. May soybeans at $14.02, 9.25 higher. July up just 0.75 cents at $13.68 on its settlement. The August futures were down a nickel at $13.31. September at $12.67 at a quarter, down 9.25. And November beans at $12.26 and 3/4, down 10 and 3/4 for the day. Bean meal futures at $3.95, up to 10. Bean oil on the afternoon at $49.77, down 26 cents. Live cattle futures finished up the June at $120.65. That's 65 higher. August at $121.27.5 on a settlement price, up 52.5. The May feeders down 55 at $141.77.5. And May lean hogs today at $87.40, finished 15 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures at $93.68 a barrel, down $1.29. The May futures in the RBOB gasoline at $2.83.5, that's down 2.9 cents of a cent. Ethanol at $2.44.5 in its lead option, up 0.2 cents. The difference between the two is now 39 cents. That's 5.2 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.15, 6.5 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 4.8 cents at $2.89.9 a gallon. And the May futures in the gold at $1,564.50 an ounce, finished $6.10 higher. The U.S. dollar trading at 82.24 is down 0.29. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers. It'll be cloudy, a high near 56 degrees on a west-southwest wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. This evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 37. And tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 47 on a west-southwest wind at 13 to 18. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 31. Sunny skies will return on Saturday with a high of 51. Partly cloudy on Saturday evening and 39. And on Sunday, finally a little warmer weather again. Partly sunny, a high of 69. Should be breezy on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 51. And Monday, showers and thunderstorms, 67. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, 51. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 67. Tuesday night, the showers and thunderstorms continue, and 49 degrees. And Wednesday, any reprieve? Nope. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 64. We'll have more on the weather forecast. At the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of April. On the phone line is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me what you thought of the marketplace today and why there was a discrepancy in the nearby and the deferred months of the soybeans.
Well, we're kind of, you know, even though USDA found some more stocks there a couple weeks ago on the March 1st stocks report, yesterday's balance sheet revisions still indicate that we're going to have a relatively tight situation, at least in the near term. So that's why traders are kind of back bull spreading this thing. They all took a pretty good bath after the stocks report, but now they're back trying to put it back together. Soybeans are getting still China demand. China was a purchaser of the beans here this week. They need inventory. South America is still plugged up. So that is what's supporting the front end of soybeans. Now, corn, I think that large ethanol production number yesterday and the weekly corn grind, corn's getting support from that on the front months. I have a sneaky feeling, even though it's not panic time yet, but I think the general weather pattern so far, the being cold and wet, is getting people thinking that we may lose corn acres to soybeans. And I think that's what's putting some pressure on that distant soybean contract, maybe a little bit more, other than we know that South America is going to come on with a pretty good crop.
South America has a good bean crop, although it appears they're having some trouble getting that out of their nation.
Well, eventually it'll come. I mean, it's not going away. It's not rotten. But, yeah, they are struggling moving it out, and that's bullish short term for our nearby old crop beans, but it's going to be a while before new crop beans would probably be considered in a friendly mode for one reason or another, whether it would be South America or weather.
What are the things that you've been following in the technical picture for corn, soybeans, wheat?
Well, the markets have done some, I mean, corn's done some improvement here over the past week here. Wheat was the one that first kind of took off here a week ago. They kind of dressed up its chart with a weekly reversal up. Now corn is kind of went through some at least initial resistant points and kind of on path here to maybe try to extend this little double bubble up here that we're seeing in April. Now, one thing that I wanted to point out is that the markets are following counter-seasonal, which means they're going opposite of what they should be doing. But opposite for this time of year would be a rally, because normally this time of year you've got a lot of field work activity going on throughout the Midwest, and that usually puts pressure on the market during the last half of April. But since we're in this colder, wetter-type pattern and only limited amount of corn planting has taken place, the corn market is holding up opposite of what it normally does at this time of year.
As you think about the marketplace and what the export market for corn might look like over the next few months, does it get any picture, or does that picture or any brighter, or does that picture stay very, very bleak?
At the moment, I think it's going to stay fairly bleak. And, I mean, USDA took another 25 million bushels off of the export balance sheet projection. So it just kind of looks like South America has just turned into a major competitor of ours this past year. And then, again, I think looking at their crop this year, they're going to stay a competitor. So I think it's going to be hard for us to regain back that export market as long as South America is producing the big corn crop.
There was a time at the beginning of the century we thought, hey, they're producing some soybeans, not to worry too much about that. But now they look like at least Brazil, and we had a short soybean crop actually last year, will or may be the number one exporter of soybeans. Can they do the same with corn?
Well, I don't know if I'm that much of an expert on what their potential is on corn, but I do know that I think you have to expect them to eventually be a net exporter of corn in the world, and I think that competition is going to stick around for a long time.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
No, that's about it. Just tell everybody up there to be patient. There's plenty of time to get the corn planted.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. A couple of items. If you'd like to hear Dan again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We updated that website in the last couple of months, so if you haven't been there, please do drop by. And if you're using a mobile device, you can use the willag.org. It probably will look pretty good both on the iPad and on your iPhones and on your Android phones, smartphones in general. If you prefer, you can still use the old mobile website. That's at m.willag.org. So you have your choice there. And if you're in the field and you can't hear us on the radio, or you're not around the radio or can't get to the web, you can always just dial this number at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, updated with some of the numbers and a bit of analysis. The number is 217-333-3434. Let me say that again for you. That number is 217-333-3434.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's turn our attention, as we often do now, to South America. Brazil's prospects of surpassing the United States for the first time as the world's top soybean exporter are being frustrated. Severe congestion, as you'll hear, at the country's ports in the past month has exposed chronic infrastructure problems. From the Port of Santos, Julia Canario reports.
Going nowhere fast. These drivers' patience is being put to the test. Since March, there has been huge congestion on the road to reach Santos, just an hour from the city of São Paulo. On the worst days, the queue stretched for over 30 kilometers. Ships have had to wait for up to 2 weeks before loading, losing money every day. Ronaldo Miguel has been transporting soybeans for over 20 years now.
We are abandoned down here. It's the worst I've seen in all these years. There's no organization. You spend 24 hours in line with no food, no bathroom, nothing. Nobody does anything. It's chaos.
Soybean and corn harvests have reached all-time highs in Brazil this year, and a record volume of grains is heading to Santos. The rainy season made matters worse. At the end of the chain, this vital route is clogged.
This is what the scene here has been like for the past weeks. Long lines of trucks trying to reach the port of Santos, Brazil's largest port. Many of the drivers here have been waiting for days before reaching this point, the entrance of the port. A big part of Brazil's exports has to pass through here. Now, this big congestion problem can still get worse, since it's just the beginning of the harvest season.
Now, no doubt, is the worst situation considering the congestion. The Brazilian government is running against the time. We need to make a lot of investments in infrastructure.
In December, President Dilma Rousseff announced a $26 billion package to modernize the country's ports. This new overpass will improve access to the Santos terminals. But for now, trucks have to wait for each train to pass. Brazil is now an agricultural superpower, and everyone agrees it needs to update its transportation system, still based on trucks.
These metrics of transportation that we have, we're going to lose much money. But if you didn't have this loss, we could be much more competitive.
With its huge natural resources, Brazil says it wants to be the food basket of the world, at a time when people everywhere are concerned about prices. But to do that properly, it needs to export its products more efficiently across the globe. Julia Carneiro, Santos.
By the way, there is a video counterpart to this story. It's posted into our website at willag.org if you'd like to watch it. That's at willag.org. Now up next, in my backyard, Lisa Braltz is far from her usual digs, where the food backyard is quite a bit different than that of her home in Urbana, Illinois.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue, beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.
A few weeks ago, my family and I took a trip for spring break. We headed once again to a destination in Florida that's been calling us back for the last 10 years. And along with the beaches and the birds and the other things we love, I particularly look forward to checking out the food scene. It's impossible for me not to compare where I live with the places that I visit to see what they're up to. About the only thing Central Illinois and the Gulf Coast of Western Florida seem to have in common is a mostly unobstructed view of the sunset, thanks to the flatness of field and ocean. But actually, both areas have a strong food presence in two completely different ways, and I think they can learn from each other. Anna Maria Island is located between Tampa and Sarasota, Florida, a 9 or so mile-long scrap of barrier island connected to the mainland by 3 bridges. Even though it's not a big place, the year-round population is only around 8,500 people, the island's got 3 towns, each with their own governments on the island, Anna Maria, Holmes Beach, and Bradenton Beach, and each town has a version of its downtown along the island's main drag. However, the 3 towns work together as a single economic development and tourism entity. They have to. During what's called the season, what we call winter here in Illinois, the island is loaded with people wanting a more chilled-out version of a stereotypical Florida vacation experience. And this is where the food comes in. The island is loaded with excellent restaurants. But here's the amazing thing I finally realized this year. There are no chain restaurants on the island. None. I don't know if this is due to an agreement between the 3 towns, or if the rent is too darn high, or if chains don't want to compete with well-established locally owned restaurants. But chain-owned restaurants are not on the island. There is no chain store coffee. There are no chain store burgers. You're visiting and you want to eat out? You'll be patronizing a locally owned and operated restaurant, often one that's been around for more than 30 years. If you want to eat in, you'll be shopping at the one large grocery store on the island, a chain that carries an impressive amount of Florida-grown fruits and vegetables, although, strangely, most of the oranges come from California. This commitment to local food establishments by locals and tourists has created a vibrant, healthy, and competitive restaurant and food environment. More restaurants are offering locally sourced food on their menus in addition to seafood, although seafood is actually something they could be doing better. And the appearance of a brand new taqueria next door to a brand new donut shop, both of them quality, near where we were staying, made us very happy indeed. The people operating these shops are young and willing to experiment. Both places had lines out the door and everyone seemed happy. I know what you're thinking, but it needs to be said. Lines at multiple establishments are a sign of a healthy, competitive restaurant economy. I think the dedication to localism and small businesses there, too, is due in large part to finite space. There's no sprawl on Anna Maria Island because there can't be any. They've been forced to build capacity from within. However, unlike where we live, there's not much of a farmer's market scene. The markets that are there are small and don't offer much in the way of produce except for strawberries and tomatoes and citrus. I didn't see the wide variety of specialty crops that I see at our markets due to Florida's climate, so the markets I visited were more like street festivals rather than places to buy serious food. And I realized that Central Illinois' commitment to local food, our established and startup food co-ops, our natural food stores, our gardens, we have so many food gardens here, is huge. In Florida in general, and Anna Maria Island in particular, there's not a huge farm presence. The act of growing food is not omnipresent, so the concept of local food isn't either. What would a combination of these two approaches, one a positive economic development approach to locally owned food business, and the other a grassroots approach toward locally grown and produced food, look like? I'm thinking it looks a lot like FEED, Food Enterprise as Economic Development. I'll be looking at this concept a few more times this year, so stay with me. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and Dave Dickey for their production of the In My Backyard segments.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the closing market report. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line from Windsor, Illinois at TGM is Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about basis and how it's been reacting to the series of USDA reports. Yesterday's report, for the most part, looked at the number from the grain stocks and said, it's closer to right than wrong, and put it in some order. How has the basis been reacting?
Well, here today, I guess we haven't really seen a whole lot locally. There's basis-wise, I guess we've seen a little bit more interest in getting beans purchased off of us than the corn here in the last couple, 3 days. And so we haven't really seen a huge difference. Now, our basis isn't probably going to change a whole lot, but there are a couple, three different processors that we deal with that are looking towards buying beans pretty heavily. And so we may end up being able to improve just a little bit.
Yeah, the stocks-to-use ratio that came out with the WASDE number, I think that was under 5%, certainly would show that soybeans in the United States, at least, could be very short by the time we got to the fall.
Yeah, there's no question, extremely tight. And if we would end up, exporting everything that we've got committed, obviously we're going to be awfully tight. South America has a huge crop, and they can export beans up here to us. But bottom line is, it's going to be hard to source beans here in the U.S.
How about corn at this point? I know that the grain stocks report wasn't particularly well received, although basis didn't react in the way many thought it might, doing the heavy lifting, saying, hey, you're wrong, and we're really short of a corn crop out here. Are your expectations for that to change?
Well, as we move forward, it looks to me, even though basis levels really have been kind of stagnant in the past week or so, I would say people are still trying to source corn. We're seeing some interest. It's just no one's really pushing that hard yet. And, I don't know who's gonna budge first. But at some point, I do think basis levels will have to end up coming to us. There's just, with ethanol margins being positive here in the last 3 weeks and numbers picking up just a little bit there, I think it's just kind of a sign of things to come, in my opinion. Basis got to get better.
And it usually does that about the time producers go to the field, so I suspect that'll happen maybe in the next month or so. What are your bids for the day?
We're 665 on cash corn, 523 on fall, 1421 on cash beans, 12 for fall.
Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to having you in for Commodity Week.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. He will be one of our panelists in studio for Commodity Week. Our guest this week, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. We'll record Commodity Week tomorrow at 4:30, posted up to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. By about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. You can find, by the way, all of our agricultural programming there on our website. Again, the address is willag.org. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi Basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. La Salle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and La Salle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon, and if we get lucky, Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, will join us in a bit. He's not available at this time. I do have a look at the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. A 20% chance of showers this afternoon. A cloudy day, a high of 56 degrees on a west wind. It's south at 11 to 13 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 17 this afternoon. And then this evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 37. West winds will continue, and they'll turn to the southwest at 11 to 14 miles an hour, gusting to 18 tonight. And then tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 47 degrees, a west-southwest wind at 13 to 18 miles an hour, gusting to 25. And Friday evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 31. That west-northwest wind then at 9 to 15, it'll gust to 20. And Saturday, sunny skies and 51 degrees. A west wind at 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15 miles an hour. Saturday night, it'll clear out a little bit but remain partly cloudy, a low of 39 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny skies and a high of 69 degrees. Finally, it'll be breezy on Sunday. It'll turn mostly cloudy on Sunday evening with a low of 51, and then on Monday, the chance of showers and thunderstorms continues and returns, and that'll stay with us all the way through Wednesday of next week. Mostly cloudy on Monday with a high of 67. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and 51 degrees. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms and cloudy, a high of 67. Tuesday night, showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy and 49. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a high near 64. That's a look at the local weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. If we look around the planet at this point, in Rosario, Argentina, at just about 4:30 in the afternoon, 68 and partly sunny skies, good for harvesting. Sao Paulo, 79. They're under harvest conditions there with partly sunny skies as well. It remains cool overnight in Kiev for their winter wheat crop, 40 degrees and clear. And in Bengbu, China, where they will be putting a corn crop into the ground about the same time that we do here, 49 degrees, clear skies. Full moon this evening in Jilin, which is a bit farther northwest and part of China. It's cold, 27 degrees overnight. It's 3:34 a.m. there. They'll have a high in the next 24 hours of about 43 degrees. So that's a look at the weather forecast for parts of the planet and their growing regions, and of course right here in Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.